We're men. We're men in tights. Tights.
It's time for another episode of Male Encounters of the Life Kind.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's the weird kind, I'm sure. but you know, and you brought out a good thing yesterday. I guess we were talking earlier today. Yeah. We jumped off the deep end last week, and we were talking about what it was to be a male, right?
Yeah.
And I got sidetracked because we were talking about, you know, one of my favorite subjects was women.
Talking about, right. Yeah.
So we kind of, and there were some points I think that you wanted to make. So I guess we're going to continue the talk about strictly what it is to be a male, besides just the equipment and that kind of stuff. But where did I get sidetracked at? It had to be talking about equipment and women, but what happened?
I think it was roles, you know. I think in guys, I mean, we're men. We talk about women. That's what we do. So
true.
But I think we were talking about roles and kind of our involvement and our experience with dealing with women and daughters and teaching those daughters, you know, to ignore those traditional roles and things like that. So I think that's how we got sidetracked and kind of started talking about women. Just based on those roles, those kind of traditional and non-traditional roles of men and women.
Well, I think we've said in the past that the bar seems to keep moving.
It does.
It's changed from generation to generation. And as time goes on, I mean, being a man has definitely changed. I mean, I think I said this last time. I don't know that I know how to be. I know how to be a gentleman, but I don't know if I know how to be a gentleman in 2021. Does that make sense?
Sure. Yeah. I think part of that confusion is just because we were raised in kind of a different societal era. I mean, you know. Irrespective of our parental influences, you know, you had a very strong mother. I had a very strong mother. Irrespective of that, there's always been that kind of society pressure on that, on men and on women. But you know, we're men, so I don't know. I think there's just been this thing of what it means to be a man, that, like you mentioned, the bar continues to move on, but we're caught in between two cultures, the culture we were raised in and our, you know, our parents grew up in, and that was our influence, and the culture that we live in today, kind of drastically different, I think.
Well, absolutely. I mean, it's a night and day. I didn't mean to interrupt you. I was just wanted to say yes. I wanted to agree.
Yeah. Yeah. So going back to women, I think it was Dove. There was a company that just did an ad campaign. It was actually not just, but maybe 2-3 years ago. It was the Like a Girl campaign, right?
I kind of remember.
Yeah. It was actually really cool. They brought these women in and they were saying things like, you know, throw like a girl, and they were filming all this. And right, so right. They would do this stereotypical thing, or run like a girl, or do that. And it was this kind of woman empowerment thing. And then they would explain to them, you know, the kids actually got it. You know, they would have adult women in there, and just because of society and what society has always done, to people our age and even a little younger and especially older, is, you know, throw like a girl, you conjure up an image of what that means. And so these adult women were buying into that, and run like a girl, they were buying into that. And then they would bring these kids in, these young girls, and they didn't understand what that meant, throw like a girl. I'm just going to throw the ball.
Exactly.
Yeah. You know, but But even though that's that campaign was specifically targeted at women, it does affect men, because I heard that when I was a child, and I, you know, still occasionally hear don't throw that like kind of a thing girl. Today. Exactly. Yeah. Throw in like a girl. What's wrong with you? You're running like a girl. You're doing this like a girl. And I'm not a girl. I'm a man. I'm just doing what I do.
Yeah, but you got long hair.
Right. I've got hair like a girl. Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, that influence has been there. It's not always overt, but it's definitely always there. And I think that bar is moving. And, you know, I just get concerned, particularly for men in that arena of what the kind of overall definition of a man is. And if you don't feel like you're living up to that definition, you feel like less of a man, and that can lead to problems, big problems, mental health problems.
Yeah, that's a very solid point. My mind is going 90 miles an hour. When you were talking about those commercials, one of my favorite commercials talking about, I think it was for Secret, and I'm not sure if you remember, but they had a commercial out that says, strong enough for a man, but made for a woman. And, right. And so I went and bought Secret. If it's strong enough for me, it's good enough for my wife, you know, at the time, it's good enough for me, damn it.
Right.
So, but as far as the male roles, those have changed too. Because when I was young, you know, a woman did most of the cooking. But
sure.
You have top-notch chefs now that are men. They're now, and women had to get into that. They had to work their way or earn their ride in that. When you talk about top-notch chefs, so now you have women that are top-notch chefs. But when it all started out, that was a man's role, particularly. But us that were not a part of that society, you know, the woman's role was to cook. Or to be the chef in the house.
Right. Yeah. You know what? I never really thought about that one. How did that happen?
I'm not sure.
That the traditional viewpoint was that in the home, it was the woman that did the cooking.
Yeah.
But if you went to a restaurant, it's not a woman. It's a man is the chef.
Yeah. Yeah.
What is that? Did anyone, when they're making up these stupid rules, air quotes again around that one again, did anyone think that one through?
I don't think so. I mean, you know, I've had good and bad chefs, and I couldn't tell you whether they were male or female. I mean, you right. know, it depends on where you're eating, obviously, but it has been a male dominated, profession, but yeah. And you know, that used to be barefoot and pregnant, all that kind of stuff. For the women. So I kind of feel sorry for them. I'm glad that they have come out of that, per se, but it has made it harder on men to secure different jobs. Now that you're in competition with a woman, that's some heavy duty competition.
Right. It is. it very definitely is. Yes. Women are a powerful force, man. So, since the rules aren't as clear cut, as wrong as the rules used to be, they were kind of clear cut.
They were clear cut. That's where the problem comes in. You're going right in the right direction.
Yeah. Yeah. So now that we're not in those clear cut rules of, hey, I mean, you're a woman, what, you're not supposed to be here. You're not supposed to do this. They definitely are supposed to be there. They definitely are supposed to be doing that. So what is my role? You know? And I think where we inevitably will go and need to go is that people just need to be good human beings. And we need to stop the gender determination, you know, that it this isn't a man's role or a woman's role. It just be a good human being. I was thinking about it one day. If you break down, like, what does it mean to be a good man? You know, you're strong, you're independent, you're loving, kind, caring, supportive. Flip that around. What does it mean to be a good woman?
Well, and I want to say, and in it's, touch with your feminine side. A male should be in touch and not embarrassed about it, because we all have we all have a feminine side. We all do.
We do, yeah.
But we shouldn't be embarrassed about it.
Right. But to flip that around and say, what does it mean to be a good woman? You could actually use every single word
absolutely.
I just used for what does it mean to be a good. So what does that mean? That the gender doesn't make a difference in that, you know? Just be a good person.
Yeah.
And so I think if we remove the pressures of, you know, men not feeling like they're living up to what it means to be a man, then I think it would relieve a lot of pressure on men.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think, you know, this is really when it comes to the workplace and men competing for jobs. Now it's not just, it's men and women competing for the same job. And, I don't have a problem with that. I'm always, you know, it's always, the saying is may the best man win. But for me I used to tell, cause I had a lot of people work for me. I had a lot of supervisors that worked for me, not supervisors, but a lot of people work for me. And then I've had a lot of great supervisors over me. I used to say, you know, a female I always had some really great, strong female supervisors. But what I did notice with men, you can have mediocre men in a job, or you can, you know, it goes from poor to mediocre to greatness with men. With women that I've noticed, and this has been back, you know, a few years ago, when women really started getting into the workplace, you either had a really strong woman character, structure, very sharp, moving forward, very aggressive, and knew what they were doing, or you had somebody that was poor. Some of the best supervisors I've ever had were women. And some of the worst supervisors I've ever had, unfortunately, were women. Men have always been, my male supervisors have always been, or fantastic, or somewhere in between. But with a woman, that's my experience. I'm not saying that that's way across the board, but, and my experience is pretty vast as far as management is concerned, has been that, you know, you either had a super, super strong woman manager, female manager, or they just sucked. I mean, bottom line, badly, you know?
Yeah.
It was hard to give them respect.
Yeah. You know, you would, in a way, you would think that women that were raised in traditional roles would actually be better supervisors.
You would think so.
Than men, because traditionally it's the woman that's raising kids and wrangling them and making them behave and getting them to do the things that they're supposed to do and all that. And that just translates directly into a workplace.
Exactly.
So, I mean, you would think that, you know, traditionally that role would be better suited to a woman. It's just, I think, as I mentioned before, you know, then studies on this and the traits of a good leader are generally heavily leaning towards masculine traits.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, women have masculine traits, some more than others. And so the ones that exhibit more masculine traits than other women generally are going to get the job done better.
And excel at it.
Yeah. And where that bar needs to continue to move, I haven't really heard it in a while, but I used to hear this all the time early in my adult working career, is that, you know, you would have men in leadership positions and they're just doing their thing. They might not be a nice person, but they're just doing their thing. That's what men do. And then you would put a woman into that same leadership position. And if she were getting the job done, she was typically referred to as a ball buster, you know, like she
I
just
referred
came
to some
in.
Of my male supervisors as ball busters too, though.
Yeah.
But I guess you're right. It's probably started with females.
Yeah. That that, you know, that was such a, it was such a different thing that we're used to women being a certain way. And then here this one comes in and she's like cracking heads and you're thinking, God, she is a witch, man. Yeah. But you wouldn't have thought that if it were a man in that position.
Oh, I don't know.
You know,
I might have. That's some really. I might have, man. I'm telling you right now. I mean, I don't know, but I see your point. I certainly see your point. I guess because I have worked and have trained and supervisors. I will say this: I had commissioned salespeople working for me, straight commissioned salespeople, and they are the biggest babies in the world. Period. Yeah. And I can say that with confidence because I used to be a commission salesperson, straight commission, big babies. But the women were different. When women started excelling in commission sales, I didn't get a lot of whining. They just, you know, I trained them. I encouraged them. I mean, my philosophy was, you're going to get to a certain level. You're going to get to this level. I'm going to give you a quota. You get to that quota. And then I'm going to raise the bar. And if you don't want to get on board, then there's the door. You know, I'm going to push you to always be the best person that you can be, the best salesperson that you can be. And if you're a male, it doesn't matter whether you're male or female. And I would always tell them, you know, I'm hoping that you'll work. And I think I said this at the last podcast. I want to train you to take over my job. And I don't care whether you're male or female. Take my job, please. I either want to move up, or I want to retire, you know.
Yes.
And the only way I can do that is to train you well enough to take my position.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I actually prefer working with women. As I mentioned the last time around, I've always relied on women. They've always been my peers in the workplace. And so we're a great big old team with me being the extreme minority on the male side. and it was just women. It was my group of my team were women. So I'm just used to working with women. I prefer working with women and maybe because of that, maybe just because of my personality, I grew up extremely sensitive and shy and all that. Have never been that guy, you know, that the guy that he's the man's man. And I've never been that guy. If we're at a party, you'll probably find me wherever the women are grouped up and huddled up and chatting. You'll probably find me over there talking with them. And well, not,
I'm the same way, but probably for different reasons. But yeah, I understand
maybe there's an element of that too. Yeah. Maybe the hunter never goes away.
Yeah, yeah. We're not stupid.
Yeah. So I don't know. So I never had those. I never exhibited those traits of being a strong man. I had a strong father growing up. I also had a strong mother I don't know. I mean, I think I just stuck somewhere right square in the middle.
Were your parents to get together the entire time that you were growing up?
Mine were too. Yeah. So yeah, I didn't have any kind of split household thing, you know, one providing more influence than the other. My mother didn't have any kind of full-time job. So actually I had more influence from her than I did dad, just because he was always working, especially younger. So that used to be a kind of 6 days a week. We really wouldn't see him except on Sundays. Mm. And that was the day that he needed to relax. So we were not to be in the house. Even though they were together, I did have more influence from my mom than I did my dad.
I had a great influence from my mom. My dad was the disciplinarian. My mom didn't know how to discipline. I mean, you know, I think we might have covered this once before, but you know, she'd beat me with a fly swatter till the end fell off because she was frustrated with me. My dad did the typical, you know, sit me down. This is going to hurt me more than it's going to hurt you. And I got the Board of Education across my backside. But my brother, we're talking about, and I know this is a show we're going to go into. before very long. But my brother, I believe with all my heart, was gay. And when I look back, my mom, it was my little brother who has passed away. My mom so much wanted a little girl. I mean, really, really bad. And this is where some of my thinking comes from.
Okay.
I believe that that my brother was conditioned to be a girl from the time he was quite young. As I look back and look at all the stuff that transpired in, when I was younger, made perfect sense to me that why he might be gay. He never did come out of the closet to my parents. I think he was afraid to death to do so. But when he passed and I was going through his things and got to meet some of his friends, I know that he probably had told them because my parents visited. He always, you know, gave the appearance he never married, but he was a very well published psychologist. You know, he gave lectures all over the United States. I honestly believe that he just, because of what was ingrained from him from my father, that he was afraid to come out and say that he was gay. I think he felt like it would kill both of them.
Right, right.
And unfortunately, he passed before I had a chance to really talk to him. We didn't talk a lot the last 10 years that he was alive, that my parents were alive. We just didn't get along at all. And he thinks it was because our parents drove us apart. They didn't want us being close to rally against them, I think, in their mind. I'm not sure, you know, but he felt that way. And he was way too educated. You know, he studied even in Austria where, you know, under the tutelage of the Freud stuff that's going on over there and, you know, your mother, the sex, you know, this and that, and you want to have sex with your mother and all that kind of stuff. So, you know, and I don't understand all of that, kid. I'm just an ignorant old, you know, New Mexico boy that really I don't know a whole lot when it comes to ways of life.
Freud was an idiot. I'm just going to say it. I'm going to put that out there. Freud was an absolute idiot. That dude was so messed up in his head. It is insane. I think they teach Freud in psychology class early so that they can move on to people that actually know what they're talking about so they can study Freud.
You're probably right. Don't know, but I know that once he came back, I kind of had a feeling that he might be gay at the time, but once he came back from there, his whole demeanor changed. I mean, it was just, and he was constantly analyzing. I finally told him he told me, you hate me. And I'm like, no, I don't hate you. You're my brother. Are there things I don't like? Yeah. There's a lot of things I don't like, but I'm assuming, and excuse me if I'm wrong, but I'm sure there's things about me you don't care for either, you know? Yeah. But he was constantly psychoanalyzing. And I think that's why we could not ever get along constantly.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Every little thing I might say, he was like, well, you hate me. It's because you hate me. I'm like, Daryl, I don't hate you, man. You're my brother. I will protect you till the day I die.
Exactly. I think that's, I don't know about sisters, but I mean, that's the brother condition. I actually tried to end the life of my brother on more than one occasion. It was in my head that he was going to stop breathing during a few altercations.
Was he an older brother, right?
Younger.
Oh, he was younger. Oh, and probably spoiled rotten.
Yeah, well, not really, but we're just so totally different people. He was a Tasmanian devil the moment he was born. It was insane. That guy, he was just fired up and ready to piss on this entire world. Yeah, so, and he's still that way, but man, I would do anything for that guy. You know, that's just kind of the brother condition. I think that's just normal. Brothers fight. but they would also fight anyone else who tries to fight your brother.
I was going to say, I beat the snot out of my brother on a daily basis. I mean, every chance I got. But if somebody messed with him, oh my God, you better watch out, man.
You're
going to have my wrath. I don't care if you're an adult or a kid. If you mess with my brother,
you're going to answer. No one messes with my brother. I'm the only one.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Well, listen, I think, was there anything else that you wanted to touch base on before I go into this other whole thing that I'm going to do?
No, I think it was just, you know, that whole idea of what does it mean to be a man? And I don't think anybody has a real clear-cut definition of that. I think people used to have a very clear-cut definition of that.
Absolutely.
And it was being beat into the minds of young boys their entire life from parents and siblings and friends and society in general of, you know, be a man, you know, quit acting like a girl, be a man. And I think and hope that that is going on less and less, and we're moving more towards, be a good person. I've gone through a really, really dark time in my life because my definitions of what it meant to be a man, I was not living up to them. I just wasn't. And I was no good for this world.
Why do you think that? I mean, why do you think that, Ken? What were you doing?
I was.
Are you wanting to admit or not? I mean, I'm trying to put you on the spot, man.
I was at the end of a second failed marriage. So I was a man who could not find a way to make a marriage work, laid off without the ability to find any kind of job that would actually support a reasonable way of living, couldn't pay my bills, couldn't provide for my wife and the household, and everything was in jeopardy because I couldn't provide. And it was causing the failure of yet another marriage. And so, you know, just, it was just one thing after another that I was just not living up in my head. I was not living up to what it means to be a man. I wasn't. And actually, my late dog, my soulmate, she is the reason I'm still walking this planet.
Wow.
It was just her and I, and she kept me from doing things I couldn't undo. it was just really, really dark time, but a lot of it was tied back to that, those roles that in my head, it was just ingrained in there, that I was not living up to what it means to be a man. And a lot of men still deal with that.
I agree.
There's just a lot of, men that in their lives, more than anyone else. And a lot of it has to do with that they're not able to fulfill their role as a man in the society they believe. And that's it. So,
you know, we all have our little inner demons to deal with. Mine similar, but not quite that bad. I honestly think I have gotten a whole lot better in the last few years. I've kind of discovered myself, but I think I've tried to kill myself, not just physically, but by just eating myself into oblivion.
Sure.
But it was where I got satisfaction, or I felt like got the most satisfaction. So I can relate to that. Everybody has their demons that they have to deal with. But I never would have guessed that about you, because you've come out of it very well.
Yeah. Thanks to friends. That's actually why I moved back here. I had some friends that said, man, just come back here. We'll take care of you. They're probably regretting that now. but yeah, really supportive friends that just threw so many ropes down the hole and just hauled me out. Right. So Yeah, I mean, I don't struggle with any of that anymore. And since it is now in my past, I'm able to pick it apart, every little piece of it. And so I have a lot of lessons learned from that. But, you know, a lot of people don't make it to the other side. They don't make it to the other side of that. And so I don't know. It was just a concern of mine that, you know, men out there should stop beating themselves up about what it means to be a man and just be a good person. And good people also need help. So if you feel like you're failing, someone will help you, man. Just reach out. Friends, family, whatever it is, you know, let the ego down of reaching out, because there again, a man is not supposed to reach out and get help from other people. You know, you're supposed to be an island, a rock.
Right.
So just knock all that off and just reach out and get help from somebody. In your mental state or things that you feel that you're failing at and you need help to not fail at them anymore, whatever it is, you know, that you feel that you're falling down on the job with, get somebody to help you. It's totally fine. That's what we do. We're all part of the same messy, bumbling human race.
You know? What I want to do is extend, this is kind of, you kind of worked into something I was going to talk about anyway, but I want to extend anybody listening, male or female, it doesn't matter, but if you are wanting some advice or you're wanting some more information or anything that we can help you with, any questions, because I'm going to try to get us some doctors to interview and that kind of stuff. But I did set us up email. I set us up some email.
And, awesome.
Yeah. And it's male encounters, all one word, all lowercase, lifekind@gmail.com. Male encounters.lifekind@gmail.com. And it's all lowercase. I will get you the password so that you can access that as well. There's also now a Facebook page that I just got set up because I had been, you know, I didn't know we were going to record today, and I had actually planned to go see a woman in Durango, but you blew that for me. You made me feel real guilty when you said, no, man, I got an etched out on my calendar. It's every Thursday at 1 o'clock. I'm like, well, crap. All right.
I didn't mean to block you, man.
Well, it's funny because, you know, we had talked earlier and you were having the week, or I'm assuming you're having the week from hell. You've been busy as all get up, but you've been very responsive to anything that I've sent you as far as my webpage and stuff. And while I'm thinking of all that, that's where I was going to go next. That when we talked about the mail, the email, we'd like to hear from you. The other thing is I want to give a shout out to Ken Collins Marketing and your webpage. If people need anything where that's concerned, you're one of the producers. And so I want to make sure you get your plug out about Ken Collins Marketing. So anything you want to say about that, your website, your page, whatever you want.
Yeah, just anybody that needs help in the digital arena. If you're a business owner or thinking about becoming a business owner, just reach out. It's everything's at KenCollinsMarketing.com. So just go there, check it all out. I've got services listed. I've got different, everything's kind of modular, so you can pick and choose through what you want to do or what you don't want to do. And all the pricing is there. There's nothing hidden. It's all out there in the open. So, and then every way to contact me is right there as well. So yeah, that's why I'm having this week, because as responsive as I have been to you, I'm also that way with all of the your other clients. Yeah. I have. Yeah.
You're quick. Well, I feel very lucky to be one of your clients. Very privileged. Inner West Concepts is the name of my company and the webpage that Ken has just done a super job on. All the players are on there. I want to plug the Wake Up Call, which is my flagship show. Started out as a podcast. Now it's a radio show that's on KSJE every Sunday between, I think it's noon or 11 to noon, something like that. So we got an hour long there.
That's awesome.
Yeah, you know, Scott Micklin is such a great, you know, Scott personally. Yeah.
Oh, Definitely.
He's a great guy to work with. He's like been very receptive to anything that I wanted to do. So the whole crew, the Wake Up crew with that Ren and Scotty, myself, and now we brought on Eric Campbell as our music advisor, writer, you know, just musician extraordinaire. I don't know how to pinhole Eric. He's such a great guy. And I know you're trying to get him on one of your think tanks.
I need him. Need him on the think tank. Yeah. Yes.
Well, I want to invite people to check out your think tank too, which we didn't talk about. But Ren and I have had the privilege of being on there as well. But that's a great thing too that you got going on. You try to local people talking about the local. That's what the Wake Up Call was for, to bring attention to what a beautiful area the Four Corners is, great place to live. And that's what you do with the think tank, right?
Yeah, partly. I was noticing there's a lot of people, like really some real interesting cats that are our neighbors, that a lot of people don't know what their story is or what they've done in this life. And it's just fascinating. People's story of how they got here and what they've accomplished or what they're accomplishing at this moment is just fascinating to me. So I love getting people in there for just a chat about what did you do or what are you doing? And the more it relates back to this area, that's just a bonus. So, yeah.
Well, it's a great show. Ren and I were extremely privileged to be a part of it. Once again, that's Ken's Think Tank, right?
Yes.
And they can find the link on your website to that to catch the episodes.
Yeah. Yeah. You can just go to KenCollinsMarketing.com and there's a button right there at the top that'll send you over. So, yeah.
All right. One of the last ones that I've been working on, too, is the Glow Up Chronicles, which April and I just recorded the new show. That's a program about how to be the best you can be. And in that show, this one that just hit was all about dating and my plight with dating and hers as well. But we've got coming up, we're going to do co-parenting from split families and what that's all about. So that's going to be interesting. Yeah. That'll be coming up in the weeks to come as well.
Very cool.
All right. Well, listen, Ken, I really love you, man. I appreciate you very much. I look forward to these chats. I try not to say too much when we're texting back and forth because I want it to, you know, I want to save it for here.
Let it be raw and just come out as it's going to come out.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah, me too. But anyway, we'll figure out. I'm not sure I'm quite ready to do the one that we've been talking about doing just yet. I want to make sure, but we've kind of tickled about it. So,
sure. Yeah.
Have you got anything else on your plate that you want to get off?
Ooh. it's all business, man. It's all business. That's where my brain is always. It's just so tough to get off of. So these are actually nice little chats to kind of get away from discussing business and strategy and just talk about the male condition.
Yeah, exactly.
You know? Yeah.
Yeah. Well, listen, so let's just text some ideas back and forth for next week's program. All right, man. I appreciate you mucho.
Yeah, you too, man.
Have a great rest of your day. I'm still thinking I'm going to run you direct.
Absolutely.
All right, brother. God bless. See you later.
Okay, man. All right. Bye.